You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 17th day of March 2024. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And the title of my message tonight is The King's Children and Taxes. Now, the incentive for this message here is we've had, the Lord speaks to you in different ways. And when you're wondering, Lord, what am I going to preach on this week? What would you have me to preach on? And he tells you in different ways. And in this case, a number of people wanting to know about taxes. And because what's been happening is property taxes all over the country have been going up. And first of all, property taxes are not lawful according to God's word, the Bible. They're not lawful. And they're unconstitutional. And so here, because of these property taxes have been raised so quickly, and a number of elderly people on fixed income who, have lost their homes, especially in places like out in California, where the taxes are totally, totally outrageous, okay? They're unlawful, but they're outrageous, too. But right here in Ohio, where we're at, also, the property taxes have gone up, and they're way too high. And so we're going to take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say. As we get into this, though, we're going to start over in Romans chapter 15 and take a quick look at the practices of Christian liberty. And we start in verse 1, and we read, Well then, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I read that right. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, that word ought in there is not like the way we use it, but that word there ought is mean obligated. We're obligated, those of us that are strong, to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. And we have situations where that doesn't always apply to those that are physically weak. Sometimes it applies to those that are spiritually weak, and you might say mentally weak. And here, there's a lot of that. And sometimes you, sometimes people with mental issues can really rub you the wrong way. It's I've had to deal with situations where there were some people who, one fellow who's actually almost 50 years old, but he's got the mentality of about a 10-year-old. And this fellow will take negative attention. He will take negative attention over no attention at all. He will do things purposely to get attention, even to get yelled at or whatever, just to have attention. And he was a fellow, a young kid that had some mental issues, that was abandoned by his parents when he was young. And so this fellow can really get on your nerves. So, but we have to try to understand that a mental illness is just as real as a physical illness. Sometimes, you know, you can't see like you could a physical illness, but it's just as real. And what he's talking about here is that those that have these infirmities, we have to try to be patient with them and understand. And like I said, he doesn't say it's going to be easy, because it is not at times. He goes on to say, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. That means to building up. But the question is, who is your neighbor? Now remember when the Pharisee asked the Lord Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And here, you know, today if you ask somebody who a neighbor is, they'll, someone lives down the street, next door, across the street, whatever. No, the neighbor, okay, is one who either gives help when it's needed, or accepts help, or receives help when it's needed. And so Jesus gave him that parable of who the neighbor is. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached fell on me. And of course we know that he died a substitutionary death. He was placed on our cross. He took the sins of the world upon himself, upon that cross. Now, folks, let me explain something. That is a magnitude that is far, far beyond anything that you and I could ever comprehend. Just think about this. The sins of the world, past, present, and future, were applied to Christ upon that cross. And that's why it says he had suffered like no man had ever suffered. And the Father had to turn his head away, because the Father cannot look upon sin without judging it. And so such a great, great sacrifice was made. In verse 4, for whatsoever things were written afore. Now this is a very, very important verse here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is a very important verse. Not all of the Scriptures was written to us, but it was all written for us. And of course, the Old Testament Scriptures were all written for our benefit today, as well as for the pre-Christian Israelites. In fact, Paul frequently quotes from the Old Testament as authoritative. Well, absolutely. And too, Paul clearly believed all of it to be divinely inspired and in every way profitable for Christians. So God's word does not return void. Now, let me say this. This is the world, right here, this King James Bible in my hand, is the world's greatest source of knowledge and wisdom. It's got the answers for things. And as I went through this message, I showed you how we learn things. I have people calling me all the time, asking me biblical questions. And not just biblical questions, somehow thinking, well, that somehow I've got a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. And I do, through the Word of God, what I see and how it's applied. And, of course, today, this is why we teach the class, the Bible and Current Events. We see things, for those of us that are biblically literate, those of us that understand that we need to spend a lot more time in the Word of God. It's a lot more profitable in every way than anything else, than on the computers, than watching television or whatever. We put out, on this radio program, we put out a lot of news during the week. We break stories. But we always start with God's Word, the Bible, here. And we will always, always apply the biblical wisdom to current events, what's taking place. And people that study and understand the Bible are making an investment in their standing throughout eternity, if they only understood that. And here again, not only is the Bible, this King James Bible, the world's greatest source of knowledge and wisdom, folks, it's way ahead of AI. I know, this thing with all this artificial intelligence and that, but from what I was told, actually, they are saying now that there's a computer system that is demanding worship already. This is, of course, we know what is coming in the future when the Antichrist brings, or when the statute, the false prophet, brings to life and demands that you worship this thing. And so here, as we go on, he says this. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you like-mindedness one toward another according to Christ Jesus. I got to tell you this, too. Today he's referring to like-mindedness, sumptuous. There's a word in the Greek, and it means having the same moral values. Now, there are different congregations, different churches, and in their churches, these people, you can have saved Christians, but they don't have the very same moral values as others. Like, for example, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, the church that I pastor, and the other church that I pastored, all of those, we had the same moral values, the people that attended. One, we believe the Word of God, and without compromise. We don't believe in compromise. We believe, we're very active pro-lifers. The name of our church is Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We, not only do we believe in being politically active, but we understand completely that God's Word, the Bible, tells you from Genesis to Revelation that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And there are those that preach, well, you have to learn, and I've had people actually say this to me, well, when you're in politics and office, you have to learn to separate your politics from your religion. Well, folks, let me explain something to you. That's foolishness. God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear. From Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every preacher, every pastor, every shepherd, everyone who were godly men in the Bible, their faith and their politics were inseparable. They were one of the very same. And so that actually started with Noah, too. And folks, if you go to Moses and Abraham, Jeremiah, David, all of them, their politics and their faith were one of the same. And no one has sued that more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. there would be no difference. I remember Jimmy Carter saying how, and this is why, when, you know, I couldn't believe it here, he was saying he was a born-again Christian. At the same time, he was saying, yes, the Bible does teach that abortion is taking the life of the innocent and it's murder, but his constituents elected him to support abortion, and that's what he's going to do. Do you understand what he just said? He's telling you he's a born-again Christian and a Sunday school teacher, but he doesn't really hold to that part of the Bible where Peter says we must obey God rather than man. He's saying he can be, he can compromise, he can be conformed to the world here if it benefits the Communist Party. Of course, he didn't call them communists, but that's what they are, the Democrat Party today. There is no Democratic Party left anymore. It's communism. And so here he goes on to say that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So here, we truly believe that we stand up for each other. We never throw any one of our people under the bus, folks. And the doers of the word, we have each other's backs. We're a church family. And that's the way I see it is with all of your UBF, unregistered Baptist fellowship churches. We truly hold to the Word of God. Okay. And again, this is what makes those churches, those actually New Testament churches, so much different than so many others out there today. I remember a very famous football coach who was starting his games with prayer and ending the games with prayer. And he was a winning coach and for high school, winning high school coach, and was invited to all the high school and come and speak in the high schools because he was a winning coach until the ACLU got after him and said, you got to stop that. And he said to himself, wait till these pastors find out, because he was invited to a lot of churches to come and speak to the young men in the churches. And so he says, wait till the pastors find out. Well, he was in for a rude awakening because the pastor said, coach, we really don't get involved in things like this. Sorry, we can't help you. Total dearth of courage, a total dearth of courage from the pulpit, folks. And so here, now we're going to start taking a look at what does the Bible actually have to say about Christians and taxes. And we're going to start over in Matthew chapter 17, I believe. Yes, Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. And here we talk about tribute money. Now, Peter assumed here that it was the temple tax that Jesus would pay it. But then Jesus had to give Peter a little bit of, of an education. Let's read. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom, or of tribute, of their own children, or of strangers? And Peter said unto him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in the hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, that's a very interesting verse there. This was not a miracle of creation. Jesus did not create the coin out of nothing, but it was called a miracle of providence. That is, controlling and directing, well, the natural process, nature's natural process to produce a desired result, you might say, one that otherwise would have an almost impossible probability of occurring. And so what happened here? Well, Jesus told Peter, are not the king's children. Who's the king? Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what does the Bible say about taxing the king's children? Well, actually, it has a lot to say about that, about taxing God's people. And we can read that if we go over to Ezra. And in Ezra, chapter 7, verses 23 through 26, and we read, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done, for the house of God in heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, the nethinims, or ministers of the house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toil, tribute, or custom upon them. Okay? So we're talking about tribute as a tax. And so he's telling Ezra here, is making the king here, is declaring very clearly that you don't tax God's people. Now, today, well, he said, well, wait a minute. It gave all those people, but it didn't say Christians, so let me just say that again. Not touching any of the priests. So it starts out with that. We, as the body of Christ, folks, the office of the priesthood ended at Calvary when the veil of the temple was rent, and the Lord Jesus said, it is finished. No longer was there an office of the priesthood, but now we have become a nation, a holy priesthood, living stones, as the Bible says. So we have one high priest and one high priest only. We no longer have to go to a priest and offer up a sacrifice for our sin. We, as priests ourselves, as a nation of priests, can go directly to the Father. We can pray directly to the Father. And so here, and we have one intercessor who is the high priest. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so here, we certify you that touching any of the priests, and Levites, and singers, and porters, and nethinims, and ministers of the house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toil, tribute, or custom upon them. And though Ezra, from the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges that may judge all the people that are beyond the river, and all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not, and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of thy king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or confiscation of goods or of imprisonment. So here, Artaxerxes, the king, feared God of heaven, the King of Kings. And he understood that the children of the King of Kings were not to be taxed by man. He sent magistrates to teach the people that the laws of God. And so failure to obey God's law was punishable according to how severe the offense was. And so Let's take a look at that when it comes, especially when it comes to taxing the land. Taxing the land. We go over to 1 Kings 21, and as you folks all know that listen to me every week, this is my third time preaching this, so I'm going to wet my whistle. And that tastes good. Today I got something a little different. I have a peach lemonade. Well, no, it's a mango lemonade. But anyhow, over in 1 Kings 21, verses 1 through 3, we read, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria." That means very right up against it. "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for my garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. And if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." In other words, now Ahab knew that. He knew that. And yet he's asking Naboth to sell him or trade him the property. Well, here's news, folks. I hate to tell you, but we none of us own anything, any property out there at all. And to literally actually have to own something in that sense, you have to be able to take it with you when you leave this world. And we're not going to take anything with us when we leave this world. We even leave our shadow behind. And so here, especially when it comes to property, let's take a look over in Numbers, chapter 33 in Numbers, verses 50 through 56. Here now, the Canaanites had lost all rights to the land that God had allowed them to inhabit the land, his land. The land belongs to God. But they lost because of their gross wickedness. Now, again, the land, the earth, belongs to God alone. He alone has the right to give it to whom he decides. Now, only God would have the right to tax the land, but God wouldn't tax the land because God doesn't need our money. Starting in verse 50. Of Numbers 33. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall you drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all of their molten images, and quite pluck down all of their high places, where that's where they would offer up the sacrifices and sacrifice their own children, and have their heathen rituals. They would have orgies out there. And he goes on to say, "And you shall dispose the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." Now you see, here we go. The land belongs to God to give to whoever he wants. It does not belong to man, to no government, whether it's state, national, to tax. The land does not, all of the land belongs to God. God allows us to have the use of that land, but it doesn't belong to us. And it definitely doesn't belong to any massive government to tax it the way that they've been doing. and taxing people, especially the elderly, right out of their homes. And especially out there in places like California, where the taxes are horrendous, and in New York. And so here he goes on to say, "And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give, the more you inherit. And the fewer you shall give, the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit." But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as though I do unto them. Now, let me tell you, this America is already coming under God's judgment. We have the pricks in the eyes and the thorns in the sides right now, with millions of illegal aliens coming into our country. But these people that Obama, and Joe Obama, Biden, and the Communist Party, the Antichrist Communist Party, they're bringing in terrorists. They're getting the country ready for the country to be taken down, invaded. People like Joe Biden should be tried for treason. In fact, I can tell you this. If I were a king for today, I would put the whole Democratic Congress and Senate on trial for treason. And many of those in the news media also. They've committed high treason against the people. And so he's telling you here, he's making it very clear that the land belongs to God, God alone. Nobody has the right to tax the land. And so, if we go over to Psalm chapter 2, for example, and in Psalm chapter 2, just a couple of verses, we read this. "Now the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" Now, folks, here, he's making it clear. Listen, the earth and everything on it belongs to God. Listen, let me say that again. The earth and everything on it belongs to God. And so here, God has again, from cover to cover, you won't find any place in God's word where he has given permission of the state to tax the land that he owns. He owns it all. Now, when he says God owns the earth and the fullness thereof, that includes you and I. In fact, the Bible says that we are not our own. We are not our own. God owns us too. We are God's property, folks. And so here, I know that's very hard, and the vast majority of people out there today are totally clueless. I mean, they really are clueless to what is happening, why things are happening. And as he tells you, you know, here, and God has, he's bringing his judgment down upon us. It says, all nations that hate God love death. And it says those nations, all the nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We're seeing that. We're seeing our children in Hosea 4:6, when he says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because he didn't provide the knowledge, is the people rejected it. Today they're too busy. They've got too many woke things to do. What do you mean, study the Word of God? That's archaic. Why should I do that? Well, there's one good reason, and that is you're probably going to end up burning in hell for the rest of your life unless you repent. Well, you burn in hell for all of eternity, I should say, unless you repent. But you don't know about that. You don't understand why we see the COVID coming down. We don't understand why we have, in this country, hundreds of thousands of people dying for drug overdoses. Big Pharma. Big Pharma alone, 250,000 a year die. And now with fentanyl, 100,000 children a year die of fentanyl, folks. They're bad deaths. And next to that, for the children, the next highest cause of the children, I'm not talking about the babies that are destroyed because by the Democrats, the innocent little children, but I'm talking about suicide. Children are confused. You got these ungodly, heathenistic teachers in the public school system that start convincing the little boys that really, maybe you're really a girl in a boy's body, and the little girls, maybe you're really a boy in the girl's body. They twist the minds of these young children to where they become so confused. And after a while, they find out that they've gone and they've had surgery that cannot be reversed. And again, the next highest death rate among these teenagers, these children too, adolescents, is suicide. That is where we've become what we've become today. And so, if we go over to Matthew chapter 21, and in Matthew chapter 21, I'll get there in a minute. I'm still very tired. Okay. Matthew chapter, 21, verses 12 through 17. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and brought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, this is the second time the Lord has done this. And so here now, what is a tax? Well, when profit is made without the exchange of goods or services, it's virtually, it's like a bribe almost. It's virtually a tax. Now, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 56:7 here as we go through here, and also Jeremiah 7:11. Now, the chief priests expected Jesus to rebuke the people, and let's find out why. And when Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and brought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And they said unto them, it is written, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful, wonderful things that he did, and the children crying into the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased. Well, why were they sore displeased? Now, they should have known, because they had the Old Testament, all the prophecies describing perfectly the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And they should have known who he was, but they ignored it. It goes on to say, and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? So the Pharisees there are saying to him, look, do you hear what they're saying? Are you going to rebuke them or not? Are you going to rebuke them? They're calling you Messiah. They're calling you Son of David. They're calling Hosea. They're telling you, as they're saying, Hosanna, Son of David. They're calling you Messiah. Are you going to rebuke them or not? Well, Jesus said, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected peace? Or praise. I'm sorry, I'm sleepy. My eyes have perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Well, you see, the reason he would not rebuke them is because he is Messiah. He is Messiah. Well, next we're going to take a look over in Matthew and Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 46, and we read this. Verse 18. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possessions, but he shall give his sons inheritance out of his own possession, that he may be not scattered every man from his possessions. Now, the prince is the equivalent of the legislator of that day. In some of those kingdoms and that, you would have the princes, and they would get together and they would make up laws that would suit their own territories, and then they would go to the king and see if the king was willing to sign it, or he would either sign them into law or he would veto it. But here, he's making it very clear. They were not to take their possessions. And today, again, like I said, right here in Ohio, elderly people are losing their homes. They're being taxed out of their homes because they're on limited incomes. And so, here, the Bible is very, very clear. In fact, not only are you not to tax the house of God, or you are not to tax God's children, makes it very clear. Peter said, are not the king's children free of the tax? Then, going back to Matthew chapter 22, and this is one of the most misunderstood passages of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Now the Pharisees were the judicial. They were the judicial. They were the lawyers and the judges. What did Jesus say to them? Woe unto you, lawyers, woe unto you lawyers, woe unto you lawyers, right? And so the idea here was to place the Lord Jesus in a position where he could not give a right answer. And the reason for this is, well, they're going to ask him, is it all right to tax, to pay pay tribute or tax to Caesar. Well, Caesar had proclaimed himself to be God. And what is the first commandment? Well, the first commandment is that, well, what? Thou shalt have no other gods, right? And so here, and he sent also unto them and their disciples with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were the legislators. Now, normally, the Pharisees and Sadducees had no respect at all for the Herodians. They were considered half-breed Jews, and they were both in competition to really rob it and steal it from the people. And so normally they didn't really have any regard. But now here's something different, because now Jesus, here, they perceived Jesus, this man of God, this man who's telling the truth and who could see right through their wickedness. They perceived him to be a very large threat to them. The people were willing to follow him. He has the ability to do things, and they were very, very skeptical. And so here they decided, let's put him in that position, because if he says, yes, go ahead and tithe to Caesar, who professes to be God, then that's blasphemy. Herodians could have had him stoned for blasphemy. And then here, on the other hand, if he was to say, no, do not pay tribute to Caesar, well, then Caesar would have charged him with insurrection and had him crucified, right? So the idea was he couldn't give a right answer. But listen, they came for a battle of wits, and they were disarmed quickly because they had no ammunition to go up against the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Now, he says, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. Now, and then he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar. Now remember, he's talking to the lawmakers. He's talking according to the law. According to the law, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Well, what does the law say? The law says that the earth and the fullness thereof, everything on it, including Caesar, belongs to God. But wait a minute here. When he said, well, whose image? Now, God makes it very, very clear over in during the Noahic covenant in Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7. Now, he had given man dominion over the environment, but he kept dominion of man himself. And so man was made in the image of God. Man was made in the image of God. Okay, and so Caesar was in the image of God. And so the point was here, so they said unto him, Caesar, then, when he says that, render to him. Now remember, again, these were the lawmakers, and they understood what the Lord Jesus said. And when they had heard these words, they were marveled. Okay, folks, they were stymied is what they were. They were taken back. Why? Well, when they went to talk to the people, and the people would say, well, what did Jesus have to say when you questioned him? Well, he said that to render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render to God what belongs to God. So the people would say, well, you're the lawmakers. According to the law, according to God's law, what belongs to Caesar and what belongs to God? That's where the Lord Jesus left him on that, because, again, according to the law, remember we just read it, the earth and the fullness, everything on it, everything on this ball of dirt we call the earth belongs to God. Caesar belongs to God. Like I said, we really own nothing. But again, the Lord was speaking to them on which a little higher plane. It's like if you've ever been into court, and often because of my pro-life activities over the years, I ended up in court quite a bit, but we always won every case. They would arrest me for saving babies. They were arresting me for being obedient to God. Now, my boss, my commander-in-chief, was much higher than anything on this earth. And I was never shy of letting them know that in the courtroom, that I will obey God rather than man. And if they said, well, if we let you off this time, will you promise not to do it anymore? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will be right back out there because I will obey God and not man. And, you know, with these judges, I could see that they had enough biblical knowledge to understand where the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, touch not God's people. And I can see that some of them, they actually had a little fear of God, and they didn't want to continue down that road. Now, here I want to go over to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we read this, starting with verse 1. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. Now God blessed the seventh day and sanctified. Well, he sanctified it to himself because he was the only one there. Because that in it he had rested from the work which God had created. So, what did God create? God created the heavens and the earth, right? God created them. There are the generations of the heavens and the earth, which they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. They belong entirely unto him. Nobody has the right to tax the property that belongs to God. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed men of the dust of the ground, and formed man into the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Well, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, here, again, we notice this, that God put Adam in the garden that belonged to God to keep it. And then when Eve and Adam had sinned, he expelled them from that garden on his land. And so as we go back to this, folks, we have to get back first to God's word, the Bible, what is lawful. And then to the Constitution. Property taxes are not constitutional, folks. And I just read you, there are several places in God's Word. Now, this Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is the highest authority there is the Word of God. And the Word of God says not to tax his people. There you go. Well, we're out of time, and as we get here this time every night, I want to tell you folks out there listening to us out there that times are moving very rapidly. Everything God's Word, the Bible said, would happen, either has happened, is happening, or will, for sure. It's absolutely, it's infallible, can't fail. God's Word cannot fail. Now, if you're out there and you have not received Christ as your Savior, you're walking a tightrope over a burning lake of fire, because you might think, well, I've heard some of these young guys say to me that they're going to party hardy, and when they get old, and we get old like you, preach, we're not going to, then we'll get religion. Well, a whole lot of you, first of all, I didn't get this old by being stupid, and those are stupid remarks. It's not your call. God decides when your soul is required of you. And believe me, you're going to die. That's an absolute fact. Everybody listening to me is going to die. Dying's not a tragedy for some of us. It's a step up. We're graduating. For others, it is frightening and horrible because, again, there'll be an everlasting torment. Now, that comes directly from the highest authority that ever existed, the Word of God. That comes from the Word of God. Now, you got an option because he tells you in his Word that many, that those that follow his Word, he tells you about the future for those that follow his Word. And that's the future with God and the saints in glory. Then he tells you about the future for those that don't follow the Word. Those that have forgotten their God. As he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And there's a total dearth of knowledge from those that have not followed the Word of God. So if you're listening out there tonight, I definitely would get into the Word of God. And many of you go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. You may not have it tomorrow. In fact, this is a reality. A whole lot of people, maybe millions, are going to run out of tomorrows tonight in this world. This is a reality. Listen to me. Even as we're speaking right now, people are dying all over this world. And folks, again, like I said, it's not your call. When your soul is required of you, you're going to go, and you never know when that can be. Only God knows. Well, I know that we're running out of time for tonight. So as we get to this time every night, that's when we always say to all of you out there listening, God bless you. Good night. And then we always finish it off with, always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.